Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bama Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the News National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say, but call us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Now, budgeting for a drop in JobKeeper payments post-Christmas. So setting a plan of attack for our future in regarding JobKeeper, and it's about organising a budget and being getting financial intelligence, so to speak. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Greg Lucas, financial planning expert from Uni South Australia, online. A very good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Trevor, and thank you so much for inviting me along this stage.
No, beautiful. No, thank you very much for coming to the program. Like I say, money's not everything, but rank it right up there with oxygen, eh?
That's indeed right, absolutely.
Look, a very important space we're living in when we're talking about COVID-19. And look, the government's done their bit regarding JobKeeper and JobSeeker, but the payments may run out. And so we need to adapt and set up a plan of attack in regarding finance. We work every week for a pay packet for money coming in. And it's about organising a budget and adapting to a budget when things do change, yes?
Absolutely right. And I guess, like, let's actually have a look at what those changes are. Mm. So the things that seem to be getting a lot of press currently is that for the JobKeeper payment, that is actually going to drop. So as we all know, when it was first introduced, everybody was receiving $1,500 of JobKeeper payment per fortnight. And in the current quarter, that reduced, and it reduced to one of two rates, depending whether the person was typically working for 20 hours a fortnight or over the 20 hours a fortnight. Mm. And for those that were on the higher rate, it became $1,200 a fortnight, and those on the lower rate, it became $750 a fortnight. And the next change that we're seeing in that, Trevor, is that on the 4th of January, that $1,200 amount will drop down to $1,000 per fortnight, and the $750 amount will drop down to $650 per fortnight. And whilst some people might say, well, that's not a big drop in dollar terms, I guess I'd make two points about that. Mm. One is that obviously for a lot of people that are receiving the JobKeeper payment, that's the only payment that they're getting.
Exactly.
And therefore, it is a massive drop to their household income.
Mm-hmm.
And as you rightly said in your introduction, it means we need to really be planning now so that we can adapt to that. But the other, and in my view, probably the more worrying thing, which isn't getting a lot of attention in the press at the moment, is that the other big change that comes in on the 4th of January is that businesses that are currently receiving the JobKeeper payment to administer and pay to their employees have to re-qualify for this. And so the requalification is basically that they have to demonstrate to the Australian Taxation Office that their turnover in this current quarter that we're in right now is at least a drop of 30% from the same quarter last year.
So that could affect now, the businesses, couldn't it?
Absolutely, it could.
Yes.
Because, you know, a few things could happen. One is some businesses in this same quarter last year may have had a terrible quarter, and so therefore to then try and demonstrate that this quarter of this year they're down 30% from the same quarter last year, they may not be able to demonstrate that.
Mm.
But that may not actually be a reflection of anything other than that this quarter last year was terrible for them. And for instance, I know from some work we've done in regional areas, you know, in the same quarter last year, people were impacted by the bushfires, by the floods, and that had a very massive impact on businesses, and we saw their revenue drop. And so what will happen is that if in January businesses don't re-qualify for JobKeeper, then they lose the payment altogether. And so then we're not talking about a drop of, you know, $100 or $200 a fortnight. We're actually talking about those employees not getting any benefit.
Well, exactly. It could affect their business in regard to operating in the future.
Absolutely right. And so I guess one message that I'm really keen on getting out to people is that please do a Christmas budget. I mean, one of the things that we know in financial planning is that people always overspend at Christmas time.
Sure.
You know, they go out, they'll have an idea of who they want to buy for, but they haven't actually created a budget for that. It's probably a really good thing this year to create not only a budget of the people that you're buying gifts for, but even things like entertaining that you're planning to do.
Yes.
Actually plan for all of that and really stick to it, because the last thing we want to see people have occur to them in January is that, you know, they get the normal bill shock of receiving the credit card statements. Mm. And then on top of that, if the businesses they work for don't re-qualify for the JobKeeper payments, then it really could be a tough time.
Yeah.
And for those that aren't doing it tough, maybe part of your Christmas budget could be to consider not only supporting local businesses, because I really do think that it's lovely when we can see what I guess the economists would call the multiplier effect, which is simply that, you know, if I go and buy my Christmas presents at local retailers, then the owners of those businesses will typically need their accounts done, and they'll use a local accountant.
Yes.
They'll probably, you know, buy lunches.
Snowball effect.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And so actually keeping that money in the community. And for those that, you know, maybe are in the nice position this Christmas where money isn't that tight, maybe you think about, would it be a good idea to actually allocate a certain percentage of my Christmas budget this year to supporting some charities that really mean something to me?
Because exactly,
that's the other area that's gone really tough in the current pandemic year, is that charities that are there supporting, you know, the less vulnerable in our society are really
struggling
really
as well.
Doing it tough as well. That's
exactly
right.
Mm.
And so, you know, if we can get those messages out to people, I think that would see Christmas be a happier time for a lot of people.
Well, I suppose we can run with some affirmations like, if you can't afford it cash, then you can't afford it. That sort of stuff, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You've got to work at a budget as such, but also have that budget that works within your budget, within your money that you got in at the table, so to speak, and begin with the end in mind, so to speak, you know, in regard to after Christmas. What happens in January is when usually all the bills come in, but if you put yourself in a position where you aren't going to be receiving any bills, then that's a good thing. That's a good plan of attack.
Spot on. Spot on. That's fantastic advice, Trevor.
Greg, well, thank you very much for sharing a very important conversation. It's about getting the money work for you instead of you working for the money, so to speak, you know, financial intelligence. And it could be an angel in disguise as well in the climate we're living in, that we need to take more focus on where we're spending money, where we're putting our money.
Yes, and look, my absolute pleasure in joining you, and thank you for your interest, Trevor.
You take care. All the best, Greg.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Greg Lucas, and he's a financial planner expert from the University of South Australia, and talking about budgeting for a drop in JobKeeper payments post-Christmas. So it's come to a time where we go a little bit crazy. They call it the silly season regarding spending monies out there for Christmas and celebrations and entertainment and presents and gifts, what have you. But we need to look after the after effect in regard to the JobKeeper, JobSeeker, and the money dropping down coming January and especially March. So plan your attack there, you mob. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. stand up for our rights. Australian bites to the coral case of the Torres Straits. Know where we all stand in the land of the indigenous. The voices of this land and the spirit of the Torres Strait. Come together as one in the land of indigenous.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show. BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumrabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, here we are living in the first world country, Australia, the Big Island. We talk about the 21st century moving forward, but in some cases not. And when we're talking about food security, which is essential for remote communities to thrive, that's not happening. We're now going to catch up with Robert Hunt, CEO of Dietitians Australia. On the line, Robert, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, as I mentioned, first world country, 21st century, here we are. But food security, essential for remote communities to thrive. So, is our people being, how you say, being starved, or fresh food or good food in remote communities?
Well, Trevor, and hello to all your listeners. Most definitely, there are issues. The access or lack of access to fresh food to our remote Indigenous communities is a real issue. We've got this week the Senate inquiry into food pricing and food security into the communities is handing down its report, and we wanted to highlight some of the issues.
So what would that be? Would it be prices in regard to freight? Would that be a case? Or is care factor zero? I know what I'm trying to pick up here.
Yeah, no, Trevor, there's some really good points. Absolutely, there's a whole lot of reasons for the problem. But the number one really is that we need to elevate the status of our local food stores to being essential services. So often these local food stores in the communities are the only place where food's sold.
Yes.
And food is a basic human right.
It is.
And, you know, we can get live lobsters sent around the globe, but we can't seem to get basic fresh food to our own population.
Yeah.
So it really needs to priority to raise the status of stores to being essential services like health and education.
Well, I was just about to say, charity starts at home, but this is not a charity. Like you said, it's a human right to have fresh food at your fingertips.
Yeah, that's right, Trevor. So there's Dietitians Australia. We're the leading voice in nutrition and dietetics, and we've got 7,500 members around the country. And we're looking... We've done a number of recommendations to this Senate inquiry, and we'll be holding them to account this
yes.
week when their report comes out. But we really need to have an increase in the status of food access. So there's things like we want a licensing standards for these for these stores to support them properly. We want to see some stronger reporting of prices for staple food products, and that's one of the issues. The prices, of course, are driven by, many of your listeners would know this, but where they're living is that, it's difficult to get there, so the
yes.
freight costs are high.
Yep.
We're normally talking about a lower reduced economy in these areas and also, importantly, impacted by climate. Roads become inaccessible. So we've got to have a national strategy here, a national food and nutrition security strategy that supports this.
Yes.
And it's not rocket science.
It isn't. And you've been the CEO of Dietitians Australia, and when we're talking about a diet, we need a nutritional diet, and it's not just fast food in remote communities. You know, we're talking about healthy food, healthy living, healthy lifestyle is what we've been promoting as First Nation Media. Very, very important.
Yeah, and you're doing a really good job of that, Trevor, and we commend you for that, and we all need to play a role in that because there is a tendency to take the easy option here and have fast foods or easy foods, and that's why we're calling on an improvement to get. Our country produces a whole stack of beautiful fresh foods
yes.
from around the continent. We've got to get that access to everyone in our population, and it isn't that hard. But there needs to be discipline and commitment. That's what we're hoping from the government.
But as you say, when back in February, March, when the pandemic came upon us, the concern was for food, but the message delivered by government is this country will not ever starve. But when you're talking
yeah.
about nutrition, our people, First Nation people, are starving in regard to nutrition, yes?
Well, they are, and they're not being supported, they're not being listened to, and all a part of the strategy that we're calling for is to have very strong input from Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities.
Mm.
They know what they need.
Exactly.
And they're calling for access to these fresh foods. And having those fresh foods remain fresh and be delivered fresh.
Yes.
And available fresh.
And when we're talking about national inquiry as such, well, that's serious. And if we're talking about food, It's got to be at top of the on the table, so to speak, and we need to act on it. So go figure, so to speak, in regard to having a national inquiry. Well, that means there's serious a serious situation there regarding our people starving in regard to healthy nutritional food. Yes.
Yeah, you're right, Trevor. And as I said, Dietitians Australia and all our members are right behind this work, but with this Senate inquiry, I hope that our Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Ken Wyatt, and Ken's a really good bloke, and he's very committed to improving a lot of our remote Indigenous communities, and I know that Ken will be looking at this inquiry very, very carefully.
Robert, would you know the process and how long that will be regarding the inquiry, and then the action behind that after that?
Well, that's why we're very keen to talk to you, Trevor, and for your
Good.
Listeners to hear the process. The
Yes.
Senate inquiry will be bringing down its report this week, and then this report will then go to the government and with the recommendations and. We need to put pressure on the government, continue pressure on the government and local members. So
sure.
your local members up there.
Yes.
I'd encourage your listeners and your radio station to get the local member on and ask him or her the what's the government going to do about the recommendations.
A very important medium here, First Nation Radio. So thank you very much, Robert. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, Robert.
Thanks, Trevor. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Robert Hunt, CEO of Dietitians Australia, and we're talking about the food security essential for remote communities to thrive. And they have a national inquiry about that situation. Very important. When it becomes a national inquiry, there in itself, alarm bells should be going off, you know. And we are talking about the 21st century. We are talking about our mob in remote communities. And as Robert pointed out, when you can send fresh, beautiful lobsters across the other side of the globe, you know, and not even look after our remote communities in regard to nutritional food, there is a problem. Have your say, Jan Armstrong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bummer Group Media, 90.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
One hand reaches out and pulls a lost soul from home, while a thousand more you're unspoken for, and they say, what good have you done by saving just this one? It's like whispering a prayer in the fury of a storm. I hear them saying, you'll never change things, and no matter what you do, it's still the same thing. It's not the world that I am changing. I do this so this world will know that it will not change me. This heart still believes love, it must say, still exists, while all the hatreds rage, so many say that love is all but pointless in madness such as this. It's like trying to stop a fire with the moisture from a kiss. I hear them saying, you'll never change things, and no matter what you do, it's still the same thing. It's not the world that I am changing. I do this so this world not change me. As long as one heart still holds on, hope is never really gone. I hear them saying, you'll never change things, and the will not change me. What I do this so this world will know that it
it will not change me.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment we've got is Which Way Yarning, which is with the Edmonton Police. And big shout out to Pecconi's IGA. And they sponsor this program and give us a box of fruit once a week for our school-based traineeship. And we promote here healthy living, healthy lifestyle. So big shout out to Pecconi, IGA, Brisbane and Edmonton for the deadly program, Which Way Yarning. And come to join me in the Shugo, Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke and also Sergeant Adrian Geary. And got a couple of bodyguards as well. Very good morning to you guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Start with you, Nicole. Who your mob? Where you from?
So my mob is, well, the family name is Murray from Yarrabah. My grandparents were born over in Yarrabah and they were raised over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my mob's from.
Connection, yes. And over to you. Adrian, who your mob, brother?
My mob's the Bidjara Nation. So they're at Springshaw, Charleville sort of area, Carnarvon Gorge, also the Cowrie mob as well.
And so you're up here in far north Queensland. So how long have you been up this way, bro?
3.5 years now.
They reckon after two wet seasons, two cyclones, we claim you.
you're
a local boy now. Look, a very important conversation today in support of White Ribbon, and Queensland Police are right behind in support of White Ribbon. Let's talk about White Ribbon, fast facts and statistics. Over to you, my brother.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what White Ribbon's all about, White Ribbon's about preventing men's violence against women.
Mm.
I suppose you get these days with people saying, why just men? Are they focused on men? I suppose the reason for it is, unfortunately, the statistics, can't even say that word now, are against men.
Yeah, exactly. You know, unfortunately, yes.
And so, obviously, men represent about 70% of domestic violence,
as perpetrators.
Yeah. So,
do think of the men out there who, when the shoe's on the other foot, where some women out there are creating domestic violence, women or men.
100%. So, White Ribbon's against all violence. It's against women who perpetrate violence as well. But the reason why they focus on men is obviously because of the stats. Mm. But having said that, it was actually a led movement of men that actually instigated White Ribbon.
Mm.
And it was men who were over the violence against, or men's violence against women.
Yes.
So they wanted to be part of the solution and they wanted to do something. So they actually formed what we now call White Ribbon Australia.
Mm.
And it actually, the organisation or the movement actually originated in Canada.
In Canada?
So they had the a mass shooting over there in Canada in the Montreal University where a young man went in and started shooting only women.
Yeah.
And so a group of men over there said, we've had enough of this, we want to do something about it. And
well, we men, we have girlfriends, we have wives, we have brothers, sisters, we have mothers, nieces, grandmothers,
100%,
all the above.
100%. And I believe, they all deserve better than domestic violence, I suppose. So I don't think anybody walks into a relationship saying, I want to bash my partner or somebody like that. So it's all about, healthy relationships, White Ribbon's all about primary prevention, so preventing it before it occurs. But it's also about not demonising men.
Sure.
That's very, very important as well. So, yeah, the stats are against men, but unfortunately a lot of men have learnt these behaviours.
Yeah.
So it's about unlearning those behaviours. And if a man's having issues in this area, we encourage them to go and get help. Mm. There's plenty of support out there for
them. Sure, exactly. Well, it's a bit of a mental illness, you know. It's a sickness, and sick people need help.
100%.
And that's what we're talking about. We're reaching out to the brothers out there. Yep. If you feel that way inclined, then go and get help, go and get support, you know.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about.
And even the other men who may not do domestic violence, if, you know, if they could, you know, have these conversations with other men and encourage that conversation. The reason why is that domestic violence is very, very destructive to individuals,
yes,
to families, and to our community.
Exactly.
And we need to change the narrative and learn to look after our family, because family is important for us.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And look, there's we're stabbed now, but having these conversations, here we are on radio, First Nation Radio, yarning about it, you know, and putting the message out there, you know.
100%.
And it's got to be front and centre.
Yep.
And then that way that helps. It gets people thinking, you know, yep, especially our men, thinking before we act.
Yep,
before
definitely.
We speak, do you know what
definitely.
I mean?
Definitely.
And about being accountable and, yep, you know, going getting the support if that is the case.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, there's plenty of support out there if people need it. And, you know, police, I think people see police as, oh no, you're going to get in trouble for it now.
Mm.
But police are there to, we do referrals, we get the support if people need support.
Mm.
If any men are out there that don't know where to get that support, just go to the local police station, we'll give them.
Sure,
we'll
give you direction, we'll direct you. Yep.
For sure. And also you can look online as well.
Mm.
There's websites, there's DV Connect, which is a men's, there's a special men's helpline as well. But there's also other programs that can be done. As I know, there's Strengths program that we have called Strong Fathers, Strong Families, which is a really good program.
Sure.
And there's a 24-hour hotline, which is only for First Nations men.
Yes. Oh, okay, radio.
Which is run by, the counsellors are men on the other end. So mm-hmm.
That's true.
Would you have that number, Nicole, and who that organisation is?
It just popped into my head just now.
Okay.
I will source the number.
Sure.
And I'll even see if I can give it a quick Google.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one.
And that's only a national phone number?
It's only a new one, actually, I think, hey?
Good.
That one?
Yeah, it's not old at all. It's,
okay,
it's only come about in the last couple of, I would say, within the first part of the year.
Okay.
I believe. Yep.
And look, there's another tool, and that's what it's all about, you know.
That's
there
right.
is support out there. You just got to reach out. So if you're feeling that way inclined, and whether it be anger management, or you're feeling something coming on, or you're feeling jealousy, or unloved or unwanted, or the relationship's falling apart, you know, it's about conversing, having a conversation,
100%.
Instead of then acting physically.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, fantastic.
And encouraging men, you know, to get support, but also talk to other men about these issues and learn to do things in a good way, you know.
Thank you, Sister Nicole, giving us the number here. It's the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Men's Hotline. And the number there is 1-800-435-799. The number again, 1-800-435-799. And that's the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Men's Hotline. So to our brothers out there, if you're feeling that way inclined, need someone to talk to and help and control your thought pattern or before you act and do something not so good, there's the number, 1-800-435-799. You know?
So a lot of people probably don't know what domestic violence is, so I'll just touch on what that is.
Please.
So domestic violence, if I can explain it simply, or the best way to explain it, is probably one person exercising power and control over another person.
Mm.
So that can be any form of abuse. So physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, you know, social, all that, any form of abuse is verbal.
So it's not only physical, is it?
No.
Isn't it?
No, a lot of people think it's just the physical, but it's actually verbal, the way, how you speak to somebody. You know, if you start swearing and abusing someone and calling them names, that's domestic violence.
Yep. Financial as well.
Yeah. Financial.
Like, give me your pay packet. You worked, my dear, but that's my money. Yep. I will control the money.
Withholding money.
Withholding money.
Funds.
Yes.
Not paying bills. Threatening to, if you don't do this, I'm not going to give you this money, or I'm not going to pay this bill. It sort of might, people, don't generally think about that as being domestic violence.
But it is.
It is domestic violence.
Emotional, like keeping the lady away from her family?
Yes.
100%.
You know, that sort of stuff?
That's what we call it's isolation.
Isolation, yes.
Isolating from any sort of support networks. Doesn't have to be friends or family. It can be isolating from, say, a psychologist or any outside contact.
Support that the lady may go to.
100%. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. So, look, a very important conversation, and look, it's we're having this conversation because of White Ribbon Day, but this conversation should be 365 days a year, should
that's
it not?
Right.
Definitely.
White Ribbon every day.
Yep. Mm. So, White Ribbon obviously has a day that it allocates to the year just to have that awareness out there, but it's all about more than just awareness, it's all about action. Mm. So, what can we do in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, to challenge these mindsets and bring about social change.
Yes, exactly. And when you look at like even sporting codes, AFL and NRL, they do their bit regarding promoting domestic violence and stamping it out.
Definitely.
White Ribbon Day.
Yeah.
So it takes the community, doesn't it? All of us need to do our bit regarding support and looking after and respecting our beautiful women out there.
100%. Everyone has a part to play in preventing domestic violence. Everyone. Mm. Just how you raise your children.
Yes.
Parents have a role.
Mm.
When you grow up, you become an adult, you have a part to play. So if you see it happening in the streets or your neighbours, you're hearing them fighting in next door.
Yes.
You know, do something about it. Just don't ignore it, because unfortunately, if you look at the stats, I'll read one of them out. On average, one woman a week is murdered by her current or former partner because of domestic violence.
Yeah.
That's one woman a week.
Yeah, one woman a week.
Ridiculous.
52 weeks a year.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
And the last couple of years, it's been higher than that. It's been up around the 70s mark.
Mm.
So we need to get it right. We need to do something. Our women deserve better than this.
They do, And when you look at sometimes the reasons behind it, it shouldn't be a reason, but our brothers out there who aren't thinking right, run with these reasons. Alcohol is one of them.
Yep.
Jealousy is another.
Mm.
Being in power, being in control, the man of the house, so to speak, what I says go, so to speak, this is the 21st century, and it's about a team effort. When you're in a relationship, we've got to get it together.
But there's not. It's not about relinquishing power. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to manage anger management or manage your behaviour so that it's not, you're not being abusive, you're not being destructive with property, you're not displaying negative behaviours in your home and in your community. That's not what it's about.
Sure.
It's about you can still maintain that particular status within your home or within your family without the violence and without the abuse and without the controlling behaviour.
Yes,
exactly. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So as police officers, when you're called to a house because of domestic violence, you're there to simmer things down, calm it all down.
100%.
But if not, remove the man from the situation?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all.
The lady or the kids?
It really depends. It really depends on the situation. Every DV situation we go to is very different.
Okay.
So, but generally speaking, if it's violent and there's concerns that it could continue or something like that, we do have powers to detain.
Mm.
And that involves sometimes going to the watch house.
Sure.
Sometimes it doesn't involve that at all. It really depends. We have what we call police protection notice.
Yes.
PPMs, we call them for short. And they can have many different things that they can do, where they can ouster someone from the house. So in other words, prevent them from returning back to the home.
Okay, yeah.
We don't use these things lightly.
No,
and
sure.
And we don't use it on every occasion. But
it's a support mechanism for helping the man, so to speak,
That's right.
I mean, before it escalates or before someone gets hurt or fatality, you know what I mean? And the man would rather be in the watch house.
Definitely.
Than, a loss of a loved one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And look, I just suppose, that American, Afro-American bloke called Terry Crews?
He's big Terry Crews,
yeah.
Got muscles on his eyebrows.
Yeah, well,
big solid muscle dude.
He does. Mate, he talks about it on social media.
Yes.
About his experience of growing up with a father who was abusive to his mother.
Yeah.
And how that impacted on him. And it's a very – if you get a chance to see it on YouTube.
Probably on YouTube.
Yep.
So there it is.
Yeah.
So that's a good tool for our brothers out there to watch something like that, you know, when you see a man who's famous and rich and, you know, very powerful in his career path, his industry as an actor. He's telling the story. It is what it is, you know.
Mate,
and you can learn from that.
100%.
OP, other people's experiences.
Yeah, mate. It's very powerful when you listen to him who's lived that life and how it impacted him. You know, if you watch the video, he's there, he's emotional.
Yes.
He's crying in the video, and he talks about how he wet the bed for up until he was 14 years of age.
Yeah.
And this is because of what he was exposed to as a kid.
Exactly.
Growing up in a violent home.
Well, that shows you the extension of domestic violence and how it affects the family, the children.
Yep.
And all the above.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So children who are exposed to domestic violence growing up, like that's one positive, you know, that's one person who was able to get out from underneath
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there are way more, far too many who don't have the opportunities and are unable to get out from underneath domestic violence.
Sure.
And to continue a positive
Which leads
life.
Down the track of continuing that sort of behaviour
and
or
then the cycle,
alcohol
the cycle
or drugs
keeps going.
Or, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, 100%. And what Terry Crews actually talks about that in his little spiel.
Yeah.
He says basically that he started taking on some of the damaged traits that his father did.
Yep.
So he started, it was either his way or the highway. This is his attitude.
Yes.
You know, or he would yell at the children and like as if they were a 30 grown man. And he said, you know, he ended up saying to his children, "I'm sorry, Daddy got it wrong."
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So yeah, it was a really powerful video. So if you get to see that clip, really good messaging in there.
Oh, fantastic! So also you brought with you PLO. We got John Jaya come to join us. Have a quick chat to John. John, brother, very good. Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Trev.
Yeah, good to see you, my brother. First of all, let the mob know who your mob. Where you from?
My mob. From my grandfather's side, come from Badu Island and Kuban.
Kuban.
Where my grandmother comes from, yes, and one side. The other side is Muir Island, Murray Island.
Yes.
And the my grandmother's side of that is Yidinji in the Goldsborough Valley area.
Okay, beautiful, yep, fantastic. So Jaya, when you talk about Jaya, Jaya is a big name up here in far north Queensland. It's like a Smith Black version, that's all. Joy's out there.
So they told me.
So you're a police liaison officer. How long you been with the force there, brother?
It'll be 10 years in June next year.
Fantastic.
I spent 9 years in Yarrabah PCYC.
Yep.
And then I transferred to Gordon Vale just till June of next year.
And looking at going for Adrian's job, sergeant there at Gordon.
Yeah.
I'm looking to get a little canoe and go up the Deerail River catching Merrimundi.
To Daddy, brother. So 10 years. So you enjoy wearing the blue uniform, brother?
I do, because I mainly work with the kids, you know, with Yarrabah, 9 years with the PCYC. You know, children from 5 years old up to 19.
Yeah, good.
In two different separate programs. And very fulfilling and... Yes. Even today, I still work within the schools in Gordon Vale.
Yep.
And I actually did a session up in McDonnell State School just outside of Fishery Falls today, this morning.
All right, fantastic.
Yeah, loved it.
So big shout out to all those kids there at Yarrabah and at Fishery Falls and at Gordon Vale. So working with the young ones, with the kids, which keeps you young, doesn't it, John?
It surely does. Keeps me nice and fit as well.
There you go. Never a dull moment. Look, thank you for the yarn there, John. And look, thank you very much, Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke. And also we got the sergeant there from Gordon Vale, Adrian Geary.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot.
You guys got a bodyguard, Bo. Big shout out to Bo.
Bo's sitting here.
Yep.
Thank you for coming.
And Bo, he's first year, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I'm asking because the microphone nowhere near him. There is microphone. First year, constable.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so the vision to climb to the top, yep.
Oh, slowly.
Slowly. Enjoy that journey.
Thank you.
And so where did you do your studies or become your academy? Where did you do that?
Down in Brisbane.
Down in Brisbane. Yeah. All right. Academy is only in Brisbane?
And Townsville.
Oh, Townsville. Townsville as well. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Two. And you based where you came from? You came from Brisbane?
Yeah, down that way. Yeah.
And you saw the light come to Cairns, Far North Queensland, yeah, Edmonton.
Nice and sunny.
Yeah.
And
the heat is on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, look, a very important conversation. In Queensland Police, in support of White Ribbon, we need to stamp out domestic violence. Thank you guys very much for coming in. And we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks for having us.
Too deadly. A beautiful yarn there with the guys and girls in the blue uniform. That segment there, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media and talk about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. So, so we need to support our beautiful women out there, our girlfriends, our wives, our sisters, our daughters, our niece, and our grandmothers. And it's about love and respecting them and making that decision about the right decision. That's what it's all about. Stamp out domestic violence. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
There's a breed of man with a calloused hand, for his work is harder than most. And he takes a stand, not on the land, but the deck of a fishing boat. Now his specialty is barramundi, but he'll take a salmon or two. I've even been told that catfish and all go into the packaging too. So run out the nets, haven't got enough yet, got to catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannikin of tea, some chips and salad, any way you'll do me. Barramundi. Haven't got enough yet, go to catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it. You can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannikin of tea, some chips and salad, any way you'll do me. Barramundi. Now they work with the tide, and tempers are tried by catfish and crab in the net. An occasional shout, how we gonna get it out? There's a bloody big croc in it yet. But a good sharp knife gets them out of strife, they'll cut the reptile free. And the skipper might swear and pull out his hair, it's a rugged old life on the sea. So run out the nets, haven't got enough yet, go to catch a barramundi for you. You can bake it or fry it, never know till you try it, you can even cook it up in a stew. Just roll them in flour and fry them on the stove, or chuck them in the fire and cook them on the coals. Serve with rice and a pannikin of tea, some chips and salad, any way you'll do me. Barramundi.
Yeah, Barramundi, Mark A. Hunter here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Trevor Peckham on the line, I believe. My brother, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing all right. Good morning, family.
I'm too deadly.
Welcome and blessed holiday day.
Yes. You well, brother?
The energy is very nice for Queensland game.
State of Origin. Yeah. Some roads, home turf, 50,000 people. Sounds good, brother.
The energy is so beautiful today, especially this morning when we woke up. The sun was up at 5. Excited for
excited for the State of Origin.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Queensland get the sun first.
Yeah, brother. So it's it's been, I think, for 15 games.
Because I'd like to put a quality energy song out there for a Queensland game and families who may be feeling a bit fearful or sad or feeling a little bit down in the dumps with all of the depression and things going on with the
COVID-19.
So I wish if I can play a bit of didgeridoo, bro.
My brother, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. You got a minute, brother. Trevor Peckham, you there, brother? There it is.
Represent. Too deadly, my brother. That's Trevor Peckham on the ditch there, giving you some good spirit, you mob. Murray Gunnarsson, thank you for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.